We have spent 30-plus years trying to get God out of public life, from taking manger scenes off public property, disallowing invocations at graduations and football games, taking the Ten Commandments off the wall, and refusing to allow students to even so much as read the Bible as literature. It seems incredible to me and terribly inconsistent that the only time that we would want to codify God into public law is when we want to attribute a deadly and destructive force to Him, but we don't want to acknowledge any of the good things that He also does. And my point is that I indeed saw many acts of God as I walked through miles and miles of tornado damage. But the acts of God I saw were not just in destruction, but they were in the lives of children and families standing in front of just splintered, broken brick, who should have easily been dead from the force of the storm, but stood in front of what once was their home, very much alive because of what I consider an act of God. And if God is indeed going to be acknowledged in the public marketplace, let's acknowledge Him not just as a force, but as a loving Father who can protect as well as He can do anything, and who does in fact very much protected thousands of our citizens during those storms.
I got to ask the devil's advocate.
Go ahead. I expected that out of you.
But in your letter the other day, you said yourself, you conceded that maybe it was appropriate legal terminology. Well, when you're writing laws, don't you want to use legal terminology?
Well, I said it was perhaps, and it has been, but the insurance department and other state laws affirmed by the courts clearly indicate that it's not necessary legal language. For something to be appropriate doesn't mean that it's necessary. My point was that it might be traditional, it might be appropriate, but it doesn't mean that it's necessary, and this language isn't necessary in order.
What do you end up doing with them?
You know, without having made a final decision, I certainly want to see the relief come. Frankly, I'm somewhat dismayed that we didn't just make the suggested and I thought agreed upon language change so that we could have gone on with this. It would have been law a week ago because I first released the letter last week. And yet now, in order for it to become law without my signature, once it even reaches my desk, it's going to take an additional 5 days. So the delay is frankly attributed more to those who wish to hold God responsible for the storms than anything, and yet we don't have one single instance of a person having insurance canceled as a result of this. So it's not likely to make a major change.
Is that likely what you're going to do, though, is let it become law without your signature?
I would say that's most likely, because I don't want to veto a bill. But it's a matter of conscience for me. It really is. And I know people are going to, you know, I've been laughed at before. Won't be the first or the last time. But this is a real matter of conscience for me. And I just cannot in good conscience be a part of something that in my heart I know is not a total or an accurate picture.
Were you surprised that this makes national news?
I would love to say that I'm surprised, but anymore, nothing surprises me as to what makes news and what fails to make news. Naturally, I would have thought that something like the Our Kids First program, which was a real innovation in health care for children, that would have made national news, because that's really going to affect a lot of people. But frankly, if this makes national news, it wasn't my attempt to do that. As you know, Ron, I released this letter privately to the legislators who are sponsors, and I don't mind it being released. I have nothing to be ashamed of, but it was not my intent to make publicity out of it.